The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, it's 6 o'clock. I'll begin. So welcome, everybody. If you don't know me, I'm Diana Clark, and today we'll be doing some loving kindness practice. And before we begin, I'll just want to say a few words. And I think probably you already know, if you came here, you already know that having a sense of a certain amount of calmness or collectedness or a certain kind of unification, unscatteredness, undistractedness can be helpful. Can really support our lives in so many different ways, in such a way that if we are like in harmony with our experience, or not pushing and pulling or rejecting or grabbing, you know, our experiences, if we can soften those activities, it can be really supportive for our life. But it's also important to recognize that it's a spectrum. We don't have to get tangled up with, yes, I'm collected, no, I'm not collected. Instead, we can recognize, oh yeah, okay, I'm a little bit more distracted, a little bit less distracted, or there's a part of me, maybe my body feels a certain settledness, but my mind is spinning, or maybe it's the opposite, that you have a certain ease in the mind, but the body still feels restless. So instead of having this feeling of, I'm doing this correctly, I'm not doing this correctly, or I am failing, I'm succeeding, I got this, or I'm a disaster. If we could just put that away and recognize that there's always a spectrum of some calmness or some collectedness. And often, even when we are really agitated, not always, but often, there's also a little bit of calmness too. Just a little bit of some ease that might be available to us. It may not be our dominant experience, and it may not be obvious, but it doesn't mean that it's not there. So part of this practice is learning to cultivate certainly a sense of calmness and collectedness, but also to recognize when it is there, when it is present. And part of the reason why having this sense of collectedness or calmness is helpful, because it really supports a sense of well-being. Kind of a sense of, if we can soften, or I'll use this word soften, of just kind of our push and pull with our experience, then we can allow a little bit of contentment to arise. Just acknowledge a little bit of contentment, or maybe recognize, yes, this is not matching my preferences, whatever our experience is having. I wish this weren't happening, but it is happening. And sometimes just to kind of recognize, to recognize what's actually happening, to stop the wrestling with reality, support some well-being and contentment. And importantly, this well-being and contentment makes it so much easier to let go, to put down that which is not helpful. Even to see that which is not helpful. Sometimes that which is not helpful is the idea, it should not be like this, but the truth is, it is like this. So if kind of to be in accordance with reality, to be in accordance with what's actually happening, can be enormously powerful, enormously helpful. So cultivating a sense of calm helps us cultivate a sense of well-being. It helps with some contentment. And even that contentment helps us put down which isn't helpful. And sometimes what's not helpful is our attitude towards what's actually happening. If very often we can't change exactly what's happening out there in the external environment, right? We can't manipulate, manufacture, engineer, create all our experiences. We probably try. I know I try an awful lot. But we can, like, put down some of the attitudes that we have. Like, oh, everything would be okay if only that person wouldn't be like this person X, or they wouldn't say Y, or I wouldn't do Z. And then what really supports creating this sense of collectedness and calmness, which supports contentment, which supports letting go of which isn't helpful, is inner and outer kindness. Inner and outer kindness really can help us feel a bit more calm, a little bit more in harmony with ourselves, in harmony with what's happening. This inner and outer kindness can really help untangle a little bit of the tangles we find ourselves in. And to help support this inner and outer kindness is partly why we do loving kindness practices. A number of reasons, but this can be one. It's to help support this sense of well-being. And the wonderful thing about this kindness is that it can be cultivated. It can be developed. We may think like, oh, you know, I'm a person that's like this. I always think this way, or I've always been aversive or reactive or something like that. But it turns out that our habits of mind, our habits of being, are much more malleable than we might imagine. And often it can start with cultivating loving kindness, inner and outer kindness. So today, with the loving kindness practice, we'll start with doing loving kindness towards a benefactor. So that is somebody for whom it's easy to feel love, easy for whom it's easy to feel care, respect, warm-heartedness. You can bring to mind somebody that has benefited you, that has loved you, cared for you. This may be a person that you have a personal relationship with, or it may be somebody who is a leader, as perhaps a spiritual leader. Maybe somebody that you don't know, but you feel inspired by, or maybe they've touched your heart. Maybe you've read some of this person's writings, or you've seen them give a talk. And again, we want to start where it's easy. So if there's somebody that doesn't come to mind with that, some people like to use babies or kittens or puppies, something that kind of softens the heart and you kind of have this endearing feeling like, oh. So you can start wherever you like, wherever it's easy to bring a sense of warm-heartedness. And then with this loving kindness practice, part of the way that it helps support collectedness is it helps support the inner and outer of kindness, but also just the activity of bringing the mind back to the object. And in this case, it's loving kindness is the object. So it's natural that our minds will wander and get filled with thoughts, think of other things, get distracted. But then we just keep on coming back. We just keep on coming back in a very simple way. It doesn't have to be complicated. We don't have to beat ourselves up that our minds have wandered. We just keep on coming back. And that activity of coming back makes it easier and easier to find calmness and collectedness in our daily lives when we're not at a meditation center or doing a meditation practice. This is partly how our minds are malleable. We're just kind of like exercising. We're doing this exercise of bringing the mind back. So with loving kindness, with a benefactor, there's three elements. And when I'm teaching, I was just reflecting on this today. I tend to emphasize the phrases, which is one of the elements, because that's what's easiest for me, but we don't all think the same, and all our minds don't work the same. So where we'll bring our mind back to the intention of loving-kindness or the experience of loving-kindness, whichever is available for you. Like we'll be doing this practice, so there's no guarantee that you're going to be filled with loving-kindness and it's all going to be wonderful and, you know, rainbows and unicorns, that kind of thing. Instead, that we're creating the conditions for loving-kindness to arise, and we just keep on coming back to that, to the ways that we're creating the conditions. So one element is the phrases, which I'll be saying out loud, and you can repeat silently in your mind after me. The second is to bring the benefactor or the lovable being or whomever you're choosing to mind. And you can do that in a way that makes sense to you and is the easiest for you. That can be to visualize this person or to somehow have a felt sense that they're nearby or with you. Any way that makes sense to you. And then the third element is to check in, and maybe you're experiencing loving kindness. And how do you experience that? How do you feel it? Some people, it's warmth and softness here in their heart center. Other people, it's a little bit a feeling in their belly. Or maybe it's not localized to one particular place. It's just a feeling of loving kindness. So there's three elements. One of these may be easier for you, may be more accessible, may feel a bit more heartfelt. So you can hang out and emphasize whichever one is easiest for you. So after we do loving kindness practice for a benefactor, then we'll expand it and we'll do it for ourselves. This inner and outer kindness. So before we begin, I'd like to encourage that you can find a comfortable posture. So if you feel that you'd like to go get some cushions or move the chair in a different place, you're more than welcome to do that. As well as if you find that we're meditating that you need to shift your posture, that's okay. And can I ask, Bhupal, that the volume go up just a little bit, because I feel like I'm trying to raise my voice too much and it's a little bit of a strain. I don't want to be yelling. It's not what we're going for here. Thank you, that's better. Okay. So we'll begin by taking an alert, upright posture in a way that your spine is as straight as feels comfortable, but not too rigid that you feel really tense. Then we'll take three long, slow, deep breaths. It's a way just to connect with the body and maybe with the exhale you can feel some of the tension or worries of the day to leave with the exhale. And to help support a sense of calmness and collectedness, we'll see if there's parts of the body that have obvious tension that we can let go of or soften without making it a big project. Nothing has to be different, but we're just creating the conditions that perhaps there'll be more ease. a little more spaciousness. It's quite common to hold tension around the eyes and around the jaw. So you can bring your awareness there. Sometimes it's helpful to move the jaw a little bit. And see if there can be some softening. In the same way, we can bring our attention to our neck. And our shoulders. It can be helpful to check in with your posture and see if your ears are over your shoulders. Often we lean forward. Check in with the arms and the hands. What about the back? Maybe the shoulder blades can slide down the back a bit. The chest, allowing a spacious feeling to arise. And the belly, so often we hold our bellies. You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body and supporting you, holding you. We can just allow gravity to do its work while we also have a certain amount of uprightness. A relaxed uprightness. Check in with the legs and the feet. Feel your feet on the ground and being grounded. You are here now. And we'll begin with a little bit of attention on the sensations of breathing. So that is, you can pay attention to the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest or the feeling of the air going in and out of your nose. You can choose one of those three, whichever is the most easeful or most available for you. And just rest your attention there. How does it feel to have an in-breath? How does it feel to have an out-breath? It's natural that our minds will wander. Especially at the end of the day, if we've been thinking and doing all day. So when you notice, it doesn't have to be a problem. Just very gently, simply, with kindness, bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. We can just simply begin again when we find that our mind has wandered. So this mindfulness of breathing, just resting your attention on the sensations of breathing, you can always come back to this practice. If you're ever feeling overwhelmed or a little bit confused or lost or unsure, this can be a returning place. Just very simply feel the abdomen or the chest moving, or perhaps the air going in and out of your nose in a nice way, in a relaxed way. Because we'll be doing this practice for loving kindness, but as I said, there's no guarantee that loving kindness will arise. And in fact, sometimes the opposite of loving kindness arises. That's just what happens sometimes. If it feels overwhelming, you can simply come back to this practice. Or you can open your awareness as wide as you can in any way that makes sense for you. And see if you can allow these other feelings to be there, but not to take all of your awareness. See if your awareness can be bigger, larger somehow, if any difficult emotions arise. They may not. There's room for everything in this practice. There's room for everything. So to begin our formal loving kindness practice, bring to mind the benefactor, somebody for whom it's easy to feel love, warmth, care, respect. Maybe all of those, maybe just one of those words. If there isn't a person that comes to mind, you're welcome to use any other being that kind of softens your heart, warms your heart. And if you're able to visualize that being, you can bring that to mind. If you already have a warm feeling in your heart, you can tap into that. And allowing that feeling to get as big as it would like. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, to support our intention of developing inner and outer kindness, we'll say the phrases. So you can repeat these phrases after me silently in your mind as a way to keep returning, keep coming back to your intention for cultivating loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to modify these phrases in any way that perhaps resonates with you or perhaps feels more comfortable. And of course, they don't have to be in English. It might be fun to explore different languages for you. Maybe there's another language that touches your heart. You're more than welcome to make these phrases your own that supports your practice. So again, bring in the benefactor to mind. Maybe tapping in to see if there's any warm feelings of loving kindness. If so, you can allow that to radiate in any way that makes sense to you. Then I'll keep with the phrases here. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So now I'll be silent here for a little bit. So you can go at your own pace. Now we'll expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. So we'll take any warm-heartedness, some good vibes that we've cultivated towards the benefactor and just expand it to include ourselves. Of course, we deserve loving kindness, care, respect, warmth. We're so often critical of ourselves. Can we also be kind without disliking that part that's critical? Everything is welcome here. So you can bring a felt sense of yourself, either the way that you like feel internally right now, or perhaps the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body, or perhaps a visualization, an image of yourself, either as you are now when you were younger, even when if you were perhaps a toddler or a baby. We're not trying to do the most difficult, we're trying to do the easiest and simplest right now. And then to support this intention of having loving kindness for ourselves, again, we'll say the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. You can check in and see if there's a sense of calmness, collectedness. Doesn't have to be your dominant experience. Maybe there's a certain amount. It's a spectrum. Perhaps there's still a bit more than when you first arrived. You can check in and see if there's a feeling of loving kindness or warmth, tenderness. If so, you can allow that to get as big as it would like. If not, that's okay too. And then I'll be silent for a few minutes here. So you can continue loving kindness for yourself, for the benefactor. Perhaps someone else that comes to mind. And then to end this meditation, you can feel the pressure of the cushion or the chair against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So now again, I invite you to check in, see if there's some calmness, some collectedness. Has it shifted? Is it different than when you first arrived? Is it different than when there was silence? Sometimes just being aware of what it really feels like, of the kind of the felt experience, makes it easier to find that experience again. And loving kindness practice supports the sense of calmness or collectedness in two ways. One, it helps this inner and outer kindness, right? This instead of fighting in some way with our experience or chastising ourselves, beating ourselves up, or trying to disown parts of ourselves. Or rather than trying to make things be different in our experience than how they are. So loving kindness helps kind of us to cultivate a certain softness of the heart that allows us to hold both our interior experience, internal experience, and what's happening out there. And just the activity of coming back to our intention, to the phrases, to the felt sense, to the image, just setting the intention of the mind to come back, just doing that activity helps create a little bit more calm and makes it easier to do so. It's not rocket science, just like we go to the gym and do bicep curls to get bigger biceps. Same thing, we just bring our mind back to an object to be able to have more calmness or collectedness. So now I'd like to open it up to any comments or questions. But how was that? How was the practice for you? Do you have questions or comments about what I said? Would you like to share some of your experience? The difference for a benefactor, for the self, or your experience with trying different phrases? Did you find some that were better or worse? Or have you discovered that actually the phrases are bothersome and that you like to just feel your warm-heartedness? So right here, we'll start over here and then we'll go to Susan. Oh, no, we can start here. See, he raised his hand first.
Hi. Yeah, I'm
not sure that's on. Is that...
Hello?
Yeah, I don't think it is. But is it on the...
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear that it's being amplified? Okay.
Once you said... I think even last week you said, try it in a different language. My first language when I was as a kid is Spanish. And the verb to be in Spanish is actually translated into two verbs. One is ser and the other one is estar. And one is more permanent and one is more transitionary. For example, I am in this room is estar because I'm not going to be in this room much longer. For example, and I am a boy or a man, you know, that's soy. So once I started translating it was very interesting and curious because sometimes I would be thinking of the more permanent one and sometimes more the one that's more transitionary. And so that's what I wanted to share. That's just by changing the language reframes the whole question.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Did you have like a different sense in your body or a different sense of loving kindness with the different verbs?
So the other piece, I wasn't sure if I was going to share it, but since you asked, when I was thinking about, in one of the two, when I was thinking about myself, I thought about my wife and how important it is for me, for her to be well. So that's almost like being, you know, two in one or something like that.
Yeah, this can be very tender, right? It can bring up a lot of tender feelings. Thank you.
I also experienced that feeling of tenderness for my husband. I was thinking of him. But I wanted to ask you if you would explain what is meant by spaciousness, feel the spaciousness.
Yeah, it's a vague term, and I think probably everybody feels it a little bit differently. But there's like this felt sense of, maybe I can explain it in two ways. One is when we're really, here's an example. If there's a pain in the, for example, the knee, and we have this feeling like this knee pain is really, really painful, then all of our awareness just can be focused on that sensation and our wish to get it away, and I wish this weren't here, and it's probably here because of X, Y, Z, I shouldn't do that again, and I'm going to do this. And our whole experience is just this thing. So it fills up our experience. We don't really have anything else happening. Spaciousness is more like, okay, yes, there's pain in the knee, but there's also the sound that's happened. And then, oh, I had that feeling in my belly, and oh, here's the pain in the knee. And there's there's more space around them. There's, a multitude of things, as well as there's less maybe a urgency or grabbing onto or being obsessed is kind of a strong word, but that, you know, on that spectrum with a particular sensation. That's one way we could do it. Another way is to think about, and is right, if this is a bell, it is a bell, I'm using it as a bell, and I'm holding on to it really tightly, and I bring my awareness to it, right? It sounds like this. But if I'm not holding on to it, I'm just allowing it to be there, and I'm just very lightly touching it, it's very different. A third way maybe I could say is that if I have this cup in my hand and I'm squeezing this so much so that I can feel like in my forearm, as opposed to like being like this, just having it open-handed. And maybe I can wiggle my fingers and I can do some other things too. Is that helpful?
Very much so.
I'm going to drink this. I have this in my hand.
I was curious as to how did you select these four phrases, not something else?
Yeah, so I'm taking these phrases from I'm not 100% confident about this. So in this tradition, in this time, this is common. If you were to go to another retreat meditation center or a retreat center, it's likely they would be using these four phrases. No guarantees, though, and in this order. But because there's nothing specifically magical about these particular phrases, there's lots of variations of them out there, too. So that's one thing I'll say. It's kind of like right now, this is what's kind of conventional. Secondly, I'll say that they are based on some Buddhist teachings. It's kind of more of a contemporary interpretation of a wish for a person to have inner well-being outer well-being and just this general ease. So that's why we say safety, happiness, health, and ease. So that's.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
One challenge I have is sometimes I'm always seeking, when we're doing loving kindness activities, in the past I've been always trying to seek when you find those wonderful experiences in it, and now I'm always trying to seek, you know, with and it's not working because. And it's like, oh, you know, it's not, when you say those phrases, nothing. You know, it doesn't have that same, and I get stuck in, like, I'm trying to seek these phrases or these loving kindness and expecting that there's this positive or this, and I don't get that sometimes.
Yeah, that's fantastic that you notice this. That's fantastic. This is a well-known part of the path of practice, is that in the beginning, there's often these warm feelings. But after a while, it starts to feel dry. It can feel dry, like, okay, I'm saying this, but I'm not getting the same kind of juicy experiences. I want those juicy experiences. It's interesting that you use this word, it's not working, right? So we can think, well, our definition of working is to have these experiences. What actually is happening, though, it's working on a different level. So even though it's very common that we may not have any particular experiences during our meditation, it can be having big effects outside of meditation. It just becomes easier and easier for us to have a kind response to things that happen that perhaps would make us irritated or things before, even though we may not be feeling this real sense of love. And so the trick is to, can you just stay with it? The feelings may come back, but this is well known, it's well established that there can be a dryness that happens after I'm doing the practice for a little bit. So kudos to you that you're sticking with it, and kudos to you that you notice that you also like want this feeling, right? And sometimes it's the wanting. Like, may you be happy, right? I'm exaggerating, but it kind of like... There's this, can be this subtle kind of, you know, leaning forward, wanting something in particular to happen. And see if you can just kind of like settle back and just have some spaciousness and allow whatever's to arise to arise. You may experience, I don't know, there's no way to know this, there may be some things the opposite of loving kindness. Sometimes when we do this practice, we get reminded of all those times we weren't loving or we weren't kind. And maybe there's a little bit of that will arise, and see if you can allow that to be there. And it'll come back. So, but thank you, that's a great question.
I have another question that just came to me as he was the two of you were talking. And that's when I repeat it inside my head, I'll say, may I be, but if I'm directing it to someone else, I'll say, may you be. So I just wanted to know, when I'm saying it to myself for myself, is it okay to say, may I be?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, may I be safe. May I be happy, healthy,
okay.
For these. Yeah.
So when you say, may you be happy, I repeat it as, may I be happy.
Oh, I see. So I'm starting with the benefactor, and I'm saying, may you be happy. And then when we switch to selves, I'm saying, may I be happy.
So that's okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But when I'm, like, thinking of another person I want to send this to, I'll say, may you be happy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think do this in a way that makes sense and is comfortable for you. That doesn't have to be perfect or like this, right?
Right.
I was just going to share on that note. I'm going to sit up. Hello. I was just going to share on that note that another teacher that I went to once here said that you can play around with when you're talking to yourself, may I be happy or may you be happy. And for some reason, I found that I can sort of accept it a lot more if I say, may you be happy. It's like one part of me is talking to another part of me. So just to your question, maybe it's something to play around with.
Yes, you're welcome to play around with this. Okay, it's 7:01, so I'd like to respect all your time. If you'd like to, if you have some more questions that I didn't get a chance to answer them, you're welcome to come up here and I'll talk to you. But may you be safe, and may you be happy, and may you find some calmness and collectedness during this week. Thank you.